Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR in More Than Money. Faisal, before the break, we were talking a little bit about how to structure things appropriately from a will's perspective so that the gift you leave behind goes to the people that you intend it to go to.
So let me ask you a question here. You're sitting around at a bar or in your backyard with a bunch of your friends, and one of your friends goes, I'm going to get remarried.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my kids. She's got her kids. What's the first question you're going to ask? One of the first questions you're going to ask?
Why are you putting me on the spot like that?
It's because guys talk like this, so I thought we were going to have a guy chat right now. And
well, I might ask something along the lines of, do you have an agreement in place
of,
you know, going into this?
Yeah, right? Like a prenuptial agreement.
Right.
Common conversation
right.
that we would have with our friends who are looking at getting remarried.
Right.
So what Jennifer was talking to us before the break was about the courts look at what's a prenuptial agreement. And I want to kind of touch on that with Jennifer, and what happens if this blended family, one spouse passes away? How does this all get into perspective from a legal side
right.
of it? And then how do you structure yourself overall? So we've been joined by with Jennifer Lamb, partner at Carrs Gallen. She's a reoccurring guest. I call her the estate guru of all things when it comes to our legal system. So Jennifer, welcome back. And we were just talking about prenuptial agreements. I believe there are postnuptial agreements. These are some of the pieces that a judge would look at in the event that an estate has been, I'll use the word contested, or looked at. So when a blended family, or when two people are thinking to get together to blend a family, prenuptial agreement and or postnuptial agreement, are they big factors of what would happen in the event one of the spouses pass away?
Absolutely. These are excellent topics to be covering. And I can say at the outset, they are very important documents. The prenuptial agreement in particular, but I must say at the outset, I think this raises the question of what are one's rights and obligations to biological children and stepchildren? And there is a very interesting case from 2015 from our Court of Queen's Bench that was affirmed by our Court of Appeal here in Alberta that did underscore and highlight the importance of if you want to provide for your stepchildren, you better make a will. Because if you died without a will, our legislation has been interpreted that lineal descendants do not include stepchildren. So you want to be very, very clear with your estate plan and your intentions, how you want to provide for your spouse in a blended family, and how you want your stepchildren, if any, to be provided for. Because half-siblings will be considered family members under the Act, but stepchildren are not yet, that has not been crystallized. And so talking about the importance of agreements, the law in Alberta still is, well, a prenuptial agreement, a postnuptial agreement are factors to be considered. One can never contract out of their moral and legal obligations. So we've had many of my good family law lawyer friends who are always appalled at how the estate world works, in that even though you've got a very carefully drafted prenuptial or postnuptial agreement, a court can still disregard that if they find that a will does not provide adequately for a spouse or an adult interdependent partner. So that always raises everyone's eyebrows, because you say, look, here's the contract, here's the agreement we signed, but it can still be overridden by a court.
So just so that we have some clarity on this part, is that when you say the moral and legal obligation to care for that surviving spouse, is it in the lifestyle they've been accustomed to while you were together? Is that what the courts are looking at? Like, what are some of the factors that people need to be aware of when they're starting to draw up this estate plan, their wills, powers of attorney, and personal directives?
Absolutely, Faisal. So there's a very lengthy list within the Wills and Succession Act that enumerates the factors that a court looks at. So they look at the size of the estate, the income of the partners, what gifts were given during lifetime. So oftentimes, let's just say by way of an example, a wife such as your client would make a claim against his estate after he passed away, and perhaps she received large sums of money over the course of their relationship. You know, luxury homes, vehicles, trips, houses, things like that. They'll the courts would look at that as one factor. You would also look at, of course, your lifestyle, your income, your expenses, other gifts or sources of income that the surviving partner or spouse may have received. And then ultimately, the court has very broad discretion in these types of claims against estates to consider any other factors that they deem relevant. So it is, again, it's fascinating area of the law, but it's also in a way very frustrating because there isn't a lot of clarity. Every case is looked at so subjectively, and there's such a fact, you know, it's a case by case basis on how these courts look at these claimants for maintenance and support.
So when it comes to the objective of our client who said, I just want to make sure my kids are okay. We've built this together over the years, and I want to make sure my kids are okay. What would you suggest to people who have that mindset? What should they be looking at, and how do they protect the money or the asset or the value for that children or that child?
And we're using the vehicle of the spousal trust time and time again in our estate planning documents. So you've got the residue of your estate is in trust for your spouse, whereby the trustee or executor provides the spouse, the surviving spouse, with their lifestyle that they wish, that they were accustomed to, with the remainder, if any, then is divided to the children, the surviving children, in equal shares. That's, again, there's many, many different ways to structure it, but that's at a very high level, that's a very common structure we recommend. Now, again, you would ask the question, well, what if there isn't anything left? Well, we've also talked about doing inter vivos gifts. So gifting now while you're still alive. If you want your children to have something, gift now, maybe not outright, but also create trusts for your children now, such that their shares are, some share of their estate are put into trust, and then those are sort of separate and a part of the estate administration process. And so those trusts are not disclosed in the estate administration. Yeah.
And Jennifer, you could probably add to that list of things, insurance. We do see that in instances where there's equalization strategies put in place. So there are things to do, and I think that's the takeaway in that particular case, right? But they have to be planned for.
Here's where my frustration lies in this one point. There are ways to plan for this, and here's what I hear. You know, Faisal, I bought my house with an agent. They recommended me some lawyer to do my real estate deal. And guess what? He or she does wills too.
Right.
And now comes a blended family issue. So much more complex than a basic will. And they're getting a lawyer, because they think all lawyers are the same. I'm surprised that people still think that today. But and they're going to draw this up without the full understanding of all the issues.
Right.
And this is why really knowing what the skill set of that legal professional is, understand you're going to get an expert on board. This is why when we have these types of shows, we don't bring anybody on our show. Right. We bring the experts on the show because they know their stuff. So for those of you who are listening to this and saying, okay, I need to get some legal advice, make sure you've got some really good legal advice from the experts in this. And Jennifer, just so since we're on the topic, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, feel free, all of you, to reach out to us. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com. We'd be more than happy to make an introduction to Jennifer. But Jennifer, if they want to reach out directly to you, how do they do that?
Certainly, that's much appreciated. We'd be more than happy to hear from any of our listeners and clients today. Karskallen LLP, and if you Google me, I'll pop right up, and my direct line is 403-298-8455. And I'd be happy to talk with anyone at any time about these challenging issues, because, you know, as much as we us litigators love being in the courtroom, these family disputes are very, very difficult and very sad to see that if proper planning and communication have not been executed, these family disputes can go on for years and years and years, and at the end of the day the lawyers get paid, and not, you know, that's unfortunately one of our outcomes. So we strive in the planning and working with advisors such as yourselves to really make sure our clients have a comprehensive estate and investment plan, and a plan for retirement, and a plan for the legacy bucket, we can actually avoid a lot of the heartbreak that we do see.
That's great. Thank you very much, Jennifer, for your input. We appreciate you taking the time, and we'll look forward to chatting you again. There's so many different and interesting topics to talk about in the proper planning of legacy. Now, legacy is one of the four buckets. It's one piece of the puzzle of a successful retirement, right? Peace of mind requires all of those different pieces are in place, including the legacy bucket. And we're going to talk about all that.
All that complexity, all figured out. How do you bulletproof your retirement? Well, we're going to talk about that on Tuesday, August 24th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Parliamentary Budget Office says we have to double another $13.7 billion to fix long-term health care in Canada. How are we going to afford that? Let's talk about that after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.